Okay, Chevra. Perfect timing. Okay, so let's go. I want to go weiter. I want to go on in the Gemara that we're up to on Kuf Beis Amid Beis. Let's pick up from Omar Shmuel. Okay, Kuf Beis Amid Beis Omar Shmuel. It's around, I don't know, 18 lines from the top of the page. Omar Shmuel, Hamitzadeh Esa Evan is Chayiv. How do we translate mitzade desa even? To straighten it, to straighten the stone, meaning that you're straightening out on the ground, right? Basically, for a stone to support a building, the stone has to be level. So mitzade desa even is a way of making the stone level. And your chayiv, and Rashi comments that even if you do not add any cement, you're still going to be chayiv. And Rashi comments that this is considered bone koshahu. Now, that's like interesting because the previous Gemara was speaking about how I define bone koshahu, and it said like a tiny little binyan, like if I have, you know, a beam and there's a hole in the beam and I fill it in. Rashi, I think, if I read it correctly, Rashi is adding that there's a different type of bone koshahu. And maybe what Rashi is getting at, again, this is all the world according to Schwartz, so if you like it, great, you'll get some points on the test. If you don't like it, so obviously fewer points. But I think what Rashi is bothered by on some level is when we read the previous Gemara about binyan koshahu, so the maskana of the Gemara was that we're talking about, you know, you have the little stove and you're putting the legs into the little stove, or you have the keresh and you're filling it in with lead because there's a hole. And we ask the kasha, doesn't that sound like binyan bekalim? And binyan bekalim, according to Rashi, is a non-existent thing. Rashi holds that categorically. There is no such thing as binyan bekalim. So therefore, it seems to me, again, I'm reading the Rashi, that it seems to me that Rashi is saying, so what Shmuel is doing is Shmuel is saying, I have a different type of bone koshahu, which is called Mitzadeh Desa Evan. No? Does everyone see where...
As a clarification of...
I think Rashi's assuming that this Gemara is a hemsheikh of the previous Gemara, and what we're saying is another type of bone koshahu, in the sense of, and this would be binyan bekarga, right? That's what Rashi
like
said.
For those who don't think that there is binyan
bekalim. Exactly. If you hold that there's no such thing as binyan bekalim, so then the bone koshahu that the Gemara mentioned earlier can't exist, according to Rashi. The Bali HaTosfos that we'll see later, maybe even tonight, hold that you can have binyan bekalim in certain circumstances. Rashi and the Yireim hold there's no such thing. So how did Rashi learn the previous Gemara? So what we pointed out last time is that there was like a Meiri who says that since you will attach the Keresh to the ground, it's considered binyan bekarka. Right? We said maybe that's related to the general sugya in halacha of Talosh al Basof Chibro, right? We spoke about this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It seems to me that what Rashi is saying, and look at the Rashi Hamitzadeh Desa Evan, right? Rashi, I think, is saying that this is binyan koshahu. Moshivo Mitzadeh Da Anshemesya Sheves Bekarka. Bekarkos Yisod HaBinyan. You straightened it out until it is the floor, the base of the building. Mitoshu Mitzadeh Da Humechino Tachteha Umoshivo Ba'aret Chayiv. Right, Rashi adds that this is binyan koshahu. No? So I think what Rashi is adding is precisely my point. Okay, weiter. So Shmuel says that mitzadeh es ha'evan is going to be chayiv, and Rashi says the chiyuv is out bona. Correct? Mesave. Actually, here, if you look in the girsa of the Rabbi, the Tosfos, right? Hametzayda seven chayiv, hachi garsi hametzayda seven chayiv, velo garsi mishemakim apatish. Dibamaskana mukila betata'a d'lo shayich sham makeh bepatish ve'ud akati koy bebona. Tosis is saying that we don't have the girsa that you're chayiv because of makeh bepatish, because according to Tosis, it's the bottom layer, and the bottom layer can't possibly be makeh bepatish, right? Nonetheless, the fact that Tosis is saying that we have to have the girsa that you're chayiv, and we don't have the text that you're chayiv mishum makeh bepatish, that indicates that there were some rishon who had the text that you're chayiv mishum makeh bepatish. Nachon?
Well, our Gemara has mishum makeh bepatish, right?
I don't think so.
Oh, no, I'm kidding.
The Gemara says, Omar Shmuel, Mitzadi Nasa Eben Chayev. Rabbeinu Chananel has the Girsa that Yechai Mishem Makeh Bepatish, which is that phantom Girsa that Tosis is rejecting.
Is Rabbeinu Chananel saying that's his Girsa, or is Mishem Makeh Bepatish explaining?
So, see, I don't know. I read it like it's Rabbeinu Chananel's Girsa in the Gemara. I need a better. I need a better Gemara. My Rabbeinu Chananel is like very hard to read.
This one is bolded.
What?
It looks like it's bolded as if these are the words the Gemara is, but he's commenting.
Yeah, I mean that's the way I thought it was, but again I can't be sure. So Rabbeinu Chananel has the Girsa that Tosis rejects, that Yechai Mishum Makeh Bepatish. It's not only Rabbeinu Chananel has this Girsa. Actually, it's Sophia, yeah?
Just because Tosis, he has, like, sort of like two things. Like, number one, he's like, oh, we don't have the Girsa that's Mishum Makeh Bepatish. Then he said, Ve'od, that...
De'akati koi bebona, meaning our...
answers?
So,
isn't that, like...
I don't know if it's like two proofs. Mitosis proof one is that how could there be makeh bepatish on the bottom layer of a building? Proof two, Tosis says, is just structurally, the Gemara is still talking about bona. The Gemara has not yet begun to discuss makeh bepatish. Right? So, there is a girsa out there that Yerchayiv Mishum makeh bepatish. We noted that this seems to be the girsa of the Rabbeinu Chananel, and it's also the way the Rambam paskins. No? Maimonides, chapter 10, Halacha Yud Ches, the Rambam writes, Hamitzadi desa evan biyisod habinyin, vitikna biyado, vahoshiva b'makam haro'ila, chayiv mishum makeh bepatish. Now, obviously we'll have to answer how the Rambam will address Tosis's points, no? How can there be makeh bepatish at the bottom of a building? We'll have to address that.
Must be like securing the foundation.
But
if you finish up the foundation, because that's the bottom.
So to finish the foundation, I mean, that's sort of, that argument would kind of undermine all of makeh bepatish. No? Oh, I finished the first letter in the book. Makeh bepatish.
No, but it's like, no, there's the secret errors.
So would I be chayav makeh bepatish on the second layer also? It's abundantly clear in the Rambam that I'm not. Right? The Rambam in Halacha Yud Beis says layers 2 and 3, I'm chayiv mishum bona. It's just layer 1, the bottom layer, which is makeh bepatish.
So you can see that their text is different. Like building a building, there's like the foundation, and there's the entire building.
Right.
So the foundation is like makeh bepatish, and the rest of it is bona until the end.
So it's certainly possible. The question, though, is twofold, why and how. Right? In other words, why would there be this girsa out there that Yechai Mishum Makeh Bepatish? And also, how could it possibly be Makeh Bepatish when, let's be honest, you know, until half an hour ago, we all thought that Makeh Bepatish is the final hammer blow. And now I see a girsa that Makeh Bepatish is the beginning. It is a little head-scratching. Does everyone agree with that? Okay, now why on earth would this text, would the Rishonim have a girsa that Yerchai Mishum Makeh Bepatish? So it seems to me that the pshat is as follows. Who is the author of this statement? Omar Shmuel, no? Everyone see Shmuel? Shmuel is the one who says that Mitzadeh Desa Evin is Chayiv. Next Gemara, right? The Gemara has three machlokas in between Rav and Shmuel about Misatet, about Osa Neke Belol Sholtarne Golem, and about Ayo Shufta Bekupina Demara. In all of those cases, Rav says Yechayev Mishum Bona. I'm just reading the next one right after the two dots. In all those cases, Rav says I'm chayev for Bona, and Shmuel says I'm chayev for Make Bepatish. No?
Yes.
And this Gemara is Shmuel. So I would say that the Rishonim felt it's very logical that the Chiyuv should be Makeh B'Patish just because it's a Gezeirah Shavah Shmuel Shmuel. Right? It just makes sense. Now, I still have to address the Kasha. How could it be Makeh B'Patish? And how come every layer of bricks, let's say, is not Makeh B'Patish? So I would argue as follows. We saw in the Mishnah that Rabban Gamliel, Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, says that Makeh B'Patish is Makeh B'Kurnas Al Hastan B'Shas Melacha, or others say B'Shas Gemar Melacha, right? We had a girsa in the Mishnah that if I'm Makeh B'Kurnas Al Hastan B'Shas Melacha, right? Meaning, even though I'm not done with the entire pu'ula, still it could be Makeh B'Patish. It's Shas Melacha. That's the way our Mishnah has it. Correct? Our Mishnah has Makeh B'Kurnas Al Hastan B'Shas Melacha. That means I'm Chayav for Makeh B'Patish, even though the malacha is not done. That would seem to go well with this Rambam, Rabbeinu Chananel. But it would seem to me as follows. You can only be chayev for Makeh B'Patish B'Shas Melacha if it is a professional activity. Something that anybody could do. You know, Chol HaMoed, there's a difference between a Maisa Hedyet and a Maisa Uman, no? If it's something that's being done with Tzorach HaMoed, I can only do it Maisa Hedyot. Maisa Uman, I can't do it with Tzorach HaMoed. So, for example, if my car requires work on Chol HaMoed, I can't go to a mechanic to fix my car, even though it's with Tzorach HaMoed, even though going and having my car usable is a way to take my kids on their Chol HaMoed trip, which is like the most important mitzvah in the Torah, but nonetheless, I can't do a Maisa Uman. On Chol HaMoed, I can only do a Maisa Hedyot. There are certain activities which are professional activities. I would argue that Mitzadei Desa Even is a professional activity. To level out off the ground, to start the building, requires tremendous expertise. Once the building is started, so then I think there's a very good svara that almost anybody could do it. What do you have to do? Put a brick, right? Put some cement. Put another brick. Cement, brick, cement, brick. It's not so hard. The avoda of building is the thing that requires expertise. Umnus is that bottom level. One could argue that the pshat in Reb Shimon ben Gamliel in our Mishnah is that Makeh al Hastan b'shas melacha is Makeh b'patish. That's the way only a professional can do it. You see, if I am working on gold, right? So part of the avoda is that I have to make sure that my hammer has exactly the right smoothness. If my hammer has bumps in it, it's going to ruin my gold. So I have to be able to very professionally bang that hammer in a way to keep that hammer perfectly calibrated so that when it does further bangs, again, any of you jewelers? I'm not a jeweler. I have no idea what I'm talking about. But I'm assuming that there's a real expertise, there's a real umnus involved in getting that hammer to be perfect. And that, I think, if you hold, there are two ways of defining Makeh B'Patish. I could define Makeh B'Patish as the final hammer blow. In which case, Makeh B'Patish is the Gemar, when I'm done with everything. That's Makeh B'Patish. And that's normal, conventional understanding of Makeh B'Patish. And that would follow the Girsa of B'Shas Gemar Malacha. But there's another razzle-dazzle way to understand Makeh B'Patish, which is that Makeh B'Patish is Nakshas Gemar Malacha, Beitz B'Shas Malacha, and that would be the Rambam, that Mitzadeh Desa'evin, Rabbi Nuchanan, that Mitzadeh Desa'evin is Chaim B'Shem Makeh B'Patish, because that is professional. And again, although I'm not sure, it seems to me that you require a greater degree of skill and expertise to lay that bottom layer of bricks or of stones to build the building. Does this resonate with anybody? Again, this is the world according to me. I don't know if I'm right. But what I'm trying to suggest is that all these Rishonim are keyed into the word Shmuel. Shmuel is what starts everything here. Good? Vayter. Mesevei. So the Gemara has a kash. Echa nosin es ha'evan ve'echa nosin es ha'tit. Hanosin es ha'tit chayev. Right? One person brings the stone, another one brings the cement. The one who brings the cement is chayev. Now, the Gra changes the text. And the Gra has the text, Shnehem chayovim. You see that? On the side of the Gemara.
Yeah.
Right? He changes it to Shnehem Chayovim. He says it's in the Yerushalmi. Also, the source over here is actually a Tosefta in Perek Yud Beis, Halacha Aleph, where the Tosefta, the way we have it, says that the Nosin is Hatitis Chayiv, and the Gra changes the Girsa over there to be Shnehem Chayovim. We have other Molachos that involve a combination of factors. Echad hevi es ha'etzim, echad hevi es ha'or. Right? The malacha of mavir on Shabbos. Right? So let's say one guy brings the wood, and one guy brings the fire. Wood over here probably means like the kindling, no? Any of you have ever been, I go camping with my kids during the summer. They like it. I don't like it as much as they do, but it's fun. And when you make a fire, you have to have little twigs, right? The big logs are not as important as the little twigs. So first you have a fire and you light the little twigs. And little twigs go and they ignite the big log. That's the way you make fires, correct? Echad hevi es ha'etzim, echad hevi es ha'ar, shnehem chayovim. They're both chayiv. Because they're both necessary to do the malacha. The Gra, in changing the girsa over here, like I noticed in the Franco Rambam, there are two Franco Rambams on Zmanim, no? There's like the new edition Franco Rambam, which we don't have in the
Franco edition pocket size thing. It's amazing.
Wait, and they're selling it in Setland, or they're selling it in
Hebrew halacha?
Hebrew halacha, yay! Everyone gets like their favorite section of the Sfarim sale, but the in the new Franco Rambams they point out like some of the Sfarim are bothered by the Kasha. How come the Rambam says that only the Meveyas Hatit is Chayiv when the context of Eitzim and Or they're both Chayiv? It seems that the Gra was sensitive to that, and therefore the Gra changes the text over here to say that they're both Chayiv.
With the wood and the fire? You said one person brings the wood. That's like the big logs?
Well, I thought the wood in this case meant like the kindling wood.
So what's and one the fire? Person. What's the other person bringing?
He's bringing a little bit of fire. He's bringing. How did they get fire in their days? I don't know. How did they get fire? A candle. How did they get the fire in the candle? He bring the two rocks, the Flintstones. Right? Not the cartoon, like real Flintstones. Right? So, basically, Shmuel says that you're chayiv if you're mitzadeh des ha'evan without any cement at all. Mesevei, the Gemara has a kasha, echanosein, es ha'evan, echanosein, es ha'tit, echanosein, es ha'tit, chayiv. The Gemara's kasha seems to be that in order to be chayiv, you need cement. Ultameich ima seifa. Reb Yossi omer afilu hela vehiniach agabe dimos sha'avonim chayiv. Right, that you see that you don't need cement. So you have a kasha. Do you need cement? You don't need cement. You're going to tell me that you need cement. Right, ultameich. According to you, that you're chayiv only when you have cement. So how come Reb Yossi says that you're chayiv even if you just put it on top of the whole wall? Ella, the Gemara answers, Tlosa bin Yonah Hevot, Tata Mitzia Ve'ila, Tata Boit Studi Ve'afra, Mitzia Boinami Tina, Eloi Behanocha Ba'alma. Good. The Gemara says that there are three levels of stones. The bottom level, you're chayiv just by straightening the stone out, and afar. And dirt. The Gemara earlier did not mention dirt. Over here, the Gemara is adding dirt. I think what the Gemara means by adding dirt is that the dirt holds the stone in place. No? I could smooth out the ground, and it's great, but maybe the stone will move after. The answer is I need dirt to hold it in place. The middle level requires cement. The top level, all you need is hanocha ba'alma, and you're chayiv even without cement. That's what the Gemara says. Three levels, everything is grand. So far, so good? Okay, now, the way we have the Gemara, it's Reb Yossi Omer. Ultameich, right? Ema Sefer, Reb Yossi Omer, right? Tosfos says, Ultameich, Ema Sefer, Afil Hela Agabe Dimos, Velo Garcinan, Reb Yossi Omer. Right? Why does Tosfos take the Girsa out? The Tosfos tells us. Why does he take the Girsa out?
Why does he use the word to let Tommy?
More precisely, I mean, the Ula Tameich is just like according to you that you need cement. I, Reb Yossi, says you don't need cement.
Okay, so they just disagree.
What?
And you could just say they just disagree.
Maybe they just disagree, right? That's what Tosfos is bothered by. Tosfos says maybe it's just a machlokas. So how can you ask a kasha from Reb Yossi on the Tanakama? Now, in the Tosefta it has Reb Yossi. Tosfos says, take Reb Yossi out of our Gemara, take Reb Yossi out of the Tosefta. Tosfos is like reading like lots of sources with weight out. Right? Tosfos is just saying, I'll use lots of weight out, erase the term Reb Yossi whenever you see it. Does Rashi have the Girsa Reb Yossi or not?
He does not.
So Rashi, you have to read a bunch of Rashis. You're saying that Rashi in the Dibur HaMaskels never has the word Reb Yossi. I agree with that. There's no Dibur HaMaskel of Rashi. It's much easier if you have the Gemaras with like the bolded Dibur HaMaskels. But there's no Dibur HaMaskel of Rashi that has Reb Yossi. Nonetheless, in what I have as the last skinny line, the last skinny line, Rashi says, V'hu milsa de Reb Yossi. Right? Which means that Rashi has the text of Reb Yossi. Now, the Rashba over here comments, again, the Rashba gets a little too complicated for my taste here, but the Rashba just makes a simple comment that obviously we have a tradition that there's no machlokas Reb Yossi in the Tanakhama. Tosfos's kasha is like so insurmountable that the only way you could answer it is saying, okay, right? The only way you can answer is that we know that Reb Yossi and Tanakhama are agreeing. That's like the end of the conversation. So now, let's just review. Bottom level, to be chayiv, what do I need?
Dirt.
Just dirt. Middle level?
Cement.
Top level?
Nothing.
Nothing. Why don't I need cement on the top level?
You're not putting any more cement on top. That's it.
So you're understanding that on top means, you see, the top level of stones. Here, I have three books here. Bottom, middle, top. Do I need cement over here?
Yeah.
You say yes. Anyone want to disagree?
Well, that's the
Again, bottom level, I don't have cement on the ground, correct? I just have Afar and Sedudi over here, between the Avodah Zarah and the Chulin. Do I have cement?
Yes.
Yes. Between the Chulin and the Yerideya, do I have cement?
No.
No.
First of all, the cement comes first.
Right. So I have cement between Avodah Zarah and Chulin.
Right. So if the top layer.
So the top layer does not have cement.
I mean, yeah, it means right there.
I'll agree with that. Now look at Rashi. Rashi agrees with you also, but Rashi says something which I'm not exactly sure. Is correct. Rashi writes, "Dimus elyon she'en al gab of od dimus eno choshesh enote ha'evan letzad echad hilkach b'hanocha ba'al masagi." Rashi says at the top level of a building, it doesn't matter if it's not completely even. Is that true? Any of you engineers, I would be really worried if the top level is not completely even, because maybe that rock is going to come crashing down on my head. But apparently, right, Rashi is saying, for the top level, the cement is less essential, and you don't need cement at all. The Yerideya has no cement, according to Rashi. Correct? Look at the Rambam. Here, there's actually extra Rambams. Anyone want? Everyone has a Rambam? Oh, you have them in the back of your Gemaras. Hey, look in the Rambam. Halacha Yud Beis. Hey, by the way, it's interesting that the Rambam splits our Gemara between Halacha Yud Ches and Halacha Yud Beis. Halacha Yud Ches is the bottom level, which is, for the Rambam, only Makkah B'Patash. That we pointed out. Echa nosi nesa even. The echa nosa nesa tit. Hanosi nesa tit chayiv. Ubenidbach elyon. Afilu hela esa even vihinicha al gabe ha tit chayiv. Sharei in minichin oleho tit acher. No? This is a fascinating Rambam. I'm going to allow everybody to turn to the Rambam and then see why I'm so excited about this Rambam. Besides the fact that's like in the halacha section, the Hebrew halacha section of the Sermon Sale. But like,
I had a whole debate. I thought it should be Rishonim, and I was like, wrong, Sophia.
What does the Rambam say? You put the cement, you don't put the cement on top, the Rambam says.
Right.
On the top level, the top layer of stones, you don't put cement on top, you only put the cement at the bottom. Right? So I think that's against Rashi. Right? Because Rashi sounds like you don't need any... you don't need any cement. Now... I would argue.
What?
The Rambam says I have cement between the Chulin and the Yerideya, but when the Gemara says that there's no cement on the top level, that means there's no cement on top of the Yerideya.
Right.
Right. The Rambam I think said what you were saying originally, right? But your sister was saying that, like Rashi. So far, so good.
Yeah.
Now, why does the Rambam say you need cement on the bottom level? So there are two ways in this book, the Minchas Ariel. By the way, if you want to like get my trick for saying Shi'urim, buy this at the Sfarim sale. The Minchas Ariel on Shabbos, he's like the trick for saying Shi'urim. I'm not sure they have it. But
on
Masechah Shabbos. See, there are two volumes, Minchas Ariel. One's on Menachos, which is less useful for us, and one's on Shabbos.
Right?
For Sophia, Menachos. Okay, but... We're moving right along. So now, why does the Rambam say you need cement? So one could argue that according to the Rambam, the malacha of bona has to be when it is fixed in place. If it's not fixed in place, it can't be bona. Mashallah Dome. Let's say I build a long-term sukkah, and I put schach on top of my sukkah. Right? Let's say I have the walls up. I have one of these, like, mirpesets. right? And I have the walls up, and then I put schach down, and I intend for the schach to stay there for a very long time. And my chaya for bona for just laying down the schach. According to Rashi, yes. According to the Rambam, no. According to the Rambam, there is no bona unless it is affixed. Nachon? If it's not attached, it can't be bona. But we could add a nekuda based on what we said 5 minutes ago. For the Rambam, if it's not attached, it can't be bona, but it could be makeh b'patish. Now, especially if I understand Judaism, that there is only bingin bekarka, meaning it got to be attached to the ground. So the bottom level isn't attached to the ground. Or, right, maybe it's not attached to the ground, but it has to be attached. Binyan means that I make something mechubar. If it's not mechubar, it's not binyan. Right? It might be makeh b'patish, but it's not bona. Rashi, for some reason, is saying that the top level of a building, right, it's just there. I put a stone up, no? I think there is no cement in the Kotel stones.
No, I just looked it up. And doesn't it look like that cement?
So, what the way I heard it, there is no cement. They used to. How did they get the stones up there? I think they used to have like gigantic rollers or something, right? Like big trees.
What's in between?
The top level of stones, which were put up by Moses Montefiore, right?
I'm talking about the top level.
Right, so like in the Kotel, there's like the original Kotel stones, which have like that border. That border we think is like Misate Sesa Even, right? And then as you look up, higher, the stones are much smaller. The top level of the Kotel, the stones are relatively small. I think over there, there is cement.
Stone of such enormous size.
You don't need some, and you can't move it.
Right, you can't move it, and you cut it well enough that it's going to sit flat on everything else. Why is there any need for cement?
But correct. The only reason why there would be a need for cement is if you're worried that something is going to come and bang into it. But if it's such a big stone.
I feel like most stones aren't that big.
What
does
that mean?
When you're building a home, you're not usually doing it huge.
Yeah, the Kotel stones are considerably larger than the stones we're talking about, I'm assuming. And those things are massive.
It's like a waste of space to have walls that aren't that big.
Okay, so Bekitzer HaMa'aseh, what we see over here is that the Rambam, again, Judaism is a beautiful religion, then the Rambam came. And the Rambam is learning this Gemara. Right? The Rambam is learning this Gemara completely differently than Rashi does. According to Rashi, right, it's considered karka even if it's just on the ground. Let's resume. Right? Rashi, the way I'm learning the Gemara, says that the previous Gemara can't be the binyan koshehu because that's kalim, it's not karka. But when I'm mitzadeh desa'evan, that's considered karka, and that is bone. Rashi holds that bone just means it's on the ground. It's resting on the ground. It does not have to be its mechubar to the ground. The Rambam, however, is saying that unless it's mechubar, it's not bone. Binyan means that I am attaching things together. I'm creating a chibur. For Rashi, binyan does not necessarily involve a chibur. Right? Binyan just means putting one thing on top of another thing. It's not that they are attached. And that's a fundamental machlokes Rashi and the Rambam. There's also the issue that for the Rambam, I could be chayiv a makeh b'patish, even if it's at the beginning of the malacha. This is, I think this is all I have to say on this little Gemara. Did we miss anything in this Gemara? Let me just check my notes. Oh, the Mincha Shlomo. What did Shlomo Zalman say?
So, anything that you're going to do many times,
So he raises that possibility. If you remember, we...
Right. He gets rid of it, but...
Huh? He seems to move away from that. But he raises that possibility. That's relevant to what I wanted to say when we first read the Mishnah. Right? So the way we have the text, according to Reb Shimon Gamliel, even if it's Bishas Melacham Chai for Metake Melacham Chai for Maka Bepatish, so we noted that the Chiddush is that I keep on doing it, right? My hammer that I keep on banging to smooth it out, I could be Chai for Maka Bepatish again and again and again. And the question is that a possibility? Reb Shlomo Zalman says, why not? Right? Now, I would argue that the only way that could be possible is if Makeh B'Patish means Melachas Uman.
What does Uman mean?
Uman is a professional.
Like Umanut.
Umanut, right?
Yeah, I just heard
something. Right, so Uman is like, if it's professional work, so then I could be Chayiv. Maybe Makeh B'Patish, each time I bang it on, I bang the martel. Right? Rashi keeps on saying martel, which is like French for hammer, right? Each time I bang, I'm going to be chayiv. I think that's what emerges from the Rashi. I would contend, Reb Shlomo Zalman entertains the idea that maybe it can be chayiv Makeh B'Patish time and time again. It doesn't seem so reasonable if you understand Makeh B'Patish as being the Gemar Malacha. But if Makeh B'Patish is Ma'isa Umin, so perhaps you can be chayiv again and again. In the context that Reb Shlomo Zalman is speaking about, this is his tshuva that he wrote as a little kid to the Chazon Ish about electricity, no? Reb Shlomo Zalman was 18, and his mother needed a hearing aid. And he, I think this is in 1935, so he looked into the sugya and he felt using electricity on Shabbos is fundamentally permitted, but he heard that there's this person in Bnei Brak, the Chazon Ish, and he asserted using electricity on Shabbos. So, Reb Shlomo Zalman, later on in life, he wrote that he had charata for writing with such chutzpah to the Chazon Ish. He had an exchange of letters. An 18-year-old kid has had an exchange of letters with the Chazon Ish, and he tries to say, oh, you can't be that you're chayiv on the electricity, because the Chazon Ish says that electricity is either bon or makeh B'Patish, no? The Chazon Ish felt that electricity, using electricity is doiraisa. Now, what I'm talking about using electricity, we'll have to discuss this in greater detail later on, is just creating a circuit. If I have a circuit that has a load, and the circuit, let's say, lights a light bulb, so then I'm chayiv because I lit a light bulb. No, a simple circuit. You have a battery on one end, wires, and there's a light bulb on the other end, right? People took high school physics, right? That's a simple circuit. So, of course, I'm chayiv for lighting the light bulb. But let's say I have a circuit that just is creating electron flow. That just goes around and around and around. It doesn't really do anything. The Chazon Ish says that that is still going to be chayiv, either bonet or makeh B'Patish. He actually entertains an idea, which is probably not true anymore once we have solid-state electronics, that maybe chayiv for mevashel, because the wires used to get really hot. You actually could feel this on your computers. Your laptops have a built-in fan, no?
Yeah.
If not for that fan, the battery would get fried. It would get really hot. Electricity can create friction, which creates heat. Nachon? So, the Chazon Ish entertained the idea that maybe you're chayav for mevashel. Reb Shlomo Zalman is writing a response to the Chazon Ish. And he's basically saying, you can't tell me that you're going to be chayiv. Maybe, he's like setting up a strumin, maybe you're chayiv for Makeh B'Patish every time you make the circuit, you turn the circuit on. And each time you're chayiv for Makeh B'Patish, he says, that's not reasonable. Right? That idea is really connected to this notion that you could be chayiv for Makeh B'Patish in middle of a malacha. Or at the beginning, which is what Reb Shlomo Zalman tries to draw out of that Rambam that we saw. He also notes that this is meduyak in the Rambam Halacha Tes Zayin as well. No, the Rambam writes Hamakim Patish Hakwa Achas Es Chayiv V'Chol Olser Dover Shu Gemar Malacha Harizah Told Us Makim Patish V'Chayiv. You get an impression from the Rambam that the Av Malacha Makim Patish is what we said, the professional act. Gemar Malacha is the told of Makar Patish. Finishing something off is not the Af Malacha. Again, the difference between an Av and a Tolda on Shabbos is they're both Chayiv. You can be Chayiv Skila for both of them. The difference is just what exactly was done in the Mishkan. For the Rambam, Makar Patish, the Av Malacha is the professional act. Ad Kan Devarav. Gemar Malacha, the second definition of Makar Patish, which we assume is the primary definition, for the Rambam, that's the Tolda rather than the Av. But even, right, so Reb Shlomo Zalman over there, assuming that the Av, according to the Rambam, is the Hakka'achas, which Amman is saying is the Umnus, so Reb Shlomo Zalman entertains the idea that maybe each time I set up the circuit, I'm going to be chayav for Makar Patish again and again and again, because each time I'm making those wires, I'm making that circuit more usable. So far, so good, ladies?
Mm-hmm.
Should we go weiter in Judaism?
Sure.
Sure. Okay, one vote.
Yeah.
We should go. Okay, weiter. Misatet. Now, misatet, the Gemara, in our Mishnah, you have a bona, kamivna vihechayiv, koshehu. Then the Mishnah has the word veha misatet, veha makib patish. And when we read the Mishnah, we noted that the word misatet is kind of ambiguous. Is misatet leading into makib patish, or is misatet a hemshech of bona? Right? The Mishnah is talking about two separate malachos, bona and makib patish, but it's not exactly clear where that word misatet, where that word misatet fits in. And that seems to be a machlokes here between Rav and Shmuel. Rav and Shmuel disagree whether misatet is connected to the beginning of the Mishnah, whether misatet is leading into the end of the Mishnah. Is misatet part of the Bona school, or is it part of the Makar Patish school? Right? That's a machlokes Rav and Shmuel in our Mishnah. Rav and Shmuel as understanding our Mishnah. Oh. Zok the Gemara, Misatet Mishum Mai Mechayiv, Rava Mai Mishum Bone, Shmuel Mai Mishum Makiv Patish. Rav says it's Bone, Shmuel says it's Makiv Patish. Why is there a dispute here? So the Pnei Yehoshua has the following idea. Pnei Yehoshua was the Rav in Frankfurt am Main at the beginning of the 18th century. So it's a relatively early sefer on the Gemara. Reb David Lifshitz used to try to convince the Rav that Reb Chaim wasn't so innovative. The Rav was addicted to his grandfather, right? So Reb David used to try to convince the Rav that every good Reb Chaim you could find in the Pnei Yehoshua. And I think the Rav probably never read a Pnei Yehoshua in his entire life or something. It's like not part of the standard Brisker canon. But Pnei Yehoshua over here notes as follows. In the ordinary course of events, Makib Patish is after the Malacha is done. I write a book, Kosev. I write. I finish the book. I put a cover on the book. That cover is Makib Patish, no? The standard understanding of Makib Patish, which again, is not what we were saying within the Rambam 5 minutes ago. But the standard understanding of Makar Patish is Makar Patish is Gemar Malacha, which means La'achar she'gamariti as kol ha'malacha, so then I put the cover on the book. Now, that usually involves something where there are two stages. However, sometimes you have an action where the action and the completion of the action is ba'in ka'achas. It's not two stages. Misates as ha'even is something like that. Misates as ha'even, what I'm doing is I'm like squaring off the stone. My maisa and the finishing it is all taking place at the same time. It's not like first I square off the stone and then I spray it with some paint or I add some shine, right? I'm done with the action and I have the Gemar Malacha entirely at the same time. So in a case when they happen at the same time, Rav and Shmuel disagree, says the Pnei Yehoshua, as to whether that is fundamentally Bona or fundamentally Makim B'Patish. Similarly, the Pnei Yehoshua explains, Ha'osa Nekev B'loshel Tarnagolim. If I make a hole in a chicken coop, I'm making the hole, Rashi says, because chicken coops don't smell good, no? When I was in Yeshiva in Karen B'Yavne, so the whole place smelled like a chicken coop. We used to ask the posek all the time whether we were allowed to daven. Seriously, it was like a real shayla. The place stank to high heaven. It was awful. It was a beautiful yeshiva, wonderful yeshiva. I learned a lot, but like, whatever. Certain times of the year. So you have a lo shel tarnagolim, and you're making a hole in the lo shel tarnagolim to allow the smell to leave. And again, the bona and the makir patish, or the action and the completion of the action, is just like one thing. You just take on the wall and you pierce it. You go through that wood. So, since it's all in one situation, machokis Rav and Shmuel. Rav says bona, Shmuel says makir patish. Ayo shufta bekupina demara. What is that?
It's where you like attach the
thing. I attach the handle to the hoe, to the right, the blade. You have like the metal, it's called a hoe or let's say a shovel. I have the metal shovel and I attach the wood stick into it so I can use it to dig. Right, if it's just like a tiny little thing, it doesn't do very much. Ayo shufta b'kupina demara. So again, Rav says it is bona, Shmuel says it is makeh bepatish. And zakti gemara, you need all of the things. Utzricha. Tiyash, when the kamaisa ba koma ra mishum de dech binyan bekach. Right? When I square off the stone, that's the normal way of binyan. Aba osa neka beloshal tarnagolan, ein dech binyan bekach, ema modelay la Shmuel. Viyash, when the baha ba koma ra mishum de domila binyan de avni la avira. Now, should be kubin the mara the end arach binyan bekach aim a modle le Shmuel v'yeshon b'ha b'hakam Shmuel v'bahanach tarti aim modle le Rav tzricha. Basically, the Gemara says that you need the same machloikas three times, and the Gemara explains why. Okay, so now what we are going to be doing over here is spending some time on the machloikas Rav and Shmuel, in particular for how this impacts on what we've been discussing for like the last four shiurim b'havla'a, the question of Binyan Bekalim. This Tosis discusses Binyan Bekalim. There's also a Tosis on Ayin Dalet about it. There's also a full Sugya on Kuf Mem Vav. Right? Hopefully, at the end of this conversation, and I hope that we'll be able to do a lot of it on Wednesday night, and maybe even finish it up Wednesday night, because there's so much more to do in this Perek, but we have to talk about opening soda cans on Shabbos. Soda cans come in different forms, no?
Soda bottles or soda cans?
Both. We'll talk about bottle caps. We'll talk about the soda cans. We'll talk about the old sardine cans. People know what sardine cans are? Or the old tuna fish cans. We'll talk about tuna fish cans, right? Tuna fish used to not come in pouches. It used to come in cans. It used to have...
It still comes in cans.
Sometimes, okay. So opening those things on Shabbos will be our conversation for the future. Now this Tosis, by the way, Ha'osa Nekev, Tosis points out the structural issue that we noted, that the word misates, this is machlokas Rav and Shmuel, whether it's going earlier or later. Is it bona or is it makeh b'patish? But the next line, or the next case in the Gemara, is about making the hole in the chicken coop. When I make the hole in the chicken coop, so this is machlokas Rav and Shmuel, is that bona or makeh b'patish? Now, that is probably what the Mishnah calls kodeach. Kodeach is piercing a hole. So Tosis asks Akasha, according to Rav, who says that Yechayim Yishim Bona, so how come the Mishnah is written in such a funny way? Mishnah goes Bona, Makeh B'Patish, then Kodeach, which is also Bona. Right? So the Mishnah is going forth and back and back and forth, and Tosfos is bothered by that kasha. And according to Shmuel, also, Kodeach is Makeh B'Patish, so everything, just the order of the Mishnah, Tosfos is bothered, it doesn't really flow well. Okay, so Mirz Hashem will pick up from here next time. I have a few other Mari Makomos to give on the Sugya of Binyan B'Kelam. We have to talk about the Urayim Shita as well. There are going to be three major Shitas in Rishonim, okay? Rashi and the Urayim is one, the Rambam and the Ran is two, and Shita number three is the Bali HaTaisus. And in that tshuva and Igris Moshe, which I gave you some makoros on, Simen Kufkaf Beis Osei, Moshe points out that the Rambam and the Ran are really different. So that's what we'll talk about, and this should be exciting, I hope. Okay, Chevra. Now, yeah, Wednesday night, Sophia requested share uptown. Is everyone good with that?
I think if it ends, I'll spend my class before
that
ends.
What time do you have class?
I'm not sure. I don't know my schedule. Sometimes I like the shuttle and a lot of.
If we could do share uptown, I could reserve the room uptown. It's like one of these transgressive acts that, you know, we can have the share uptown. People think it's fun. Again, if we're okay, we
could. Share will be at 7, right?
Share will be at 7. Yeah. A 7:15. What? Yeah, we could have Seder. We could have Seder up there from 6 to 7, 6 to 7:15, whatever, and share from 7:15 to 8:15. It makes my life easier, but it's a little bit not proper to be matriarch like 8 people for one. But
right, it's not about the stigma, so we want to be uptown.
Yeah, so there's some event uptown?
Yeah. I think we might have to not be there anyway.